September 8th, 2020, 6:30. We're running just a few minutes short or late, but go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody out. Tonight, our pledge allegiance will be led by Russ, and the opening prayer will be given by Kevin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful this evening to bow our heads before Thee and give Thee thanks for our many blessings, for this community that we live in, and for the many blessings that we enjoy by living in this valley. We are indeed grateful for the moisture we've been able to receive today and thank Thee for it. Pray that we'll have sufficient for our needs. Now, Heavenly Father, we would ask Thy Spirit to be with the citizens and the council this evening as we discuss the concerns of the community and take care of the business there. May we say, Heavenly Father, that we are grateful for our administration that we have, and we are grateful for our departments and our city workers for the service they provide for our community, and ask You to bless them in their efforts. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask for these favors this night and all others that Thou seest we stand in need of, and do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and have a roll call.
Justin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Grundy is excused, he's not feeling well. And Sam.
Here.
Okay, next item is the agenda, approval of the agenda items for the regular city council meeting September 8th, 2020.
Well, I'll make a motion to accept the agenda items for the regular city council meeting September 8th, 2020, 6:30 p.m. regular meeting.
Our second.
All right, I have Russ making the motion and seconded by Sam and Kevin to approve the approval of the agenda items on tonight's city council meeting for the 8th of September 2020. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item is approval of the minutes from, we'll do August 11th, 2020 regular city council meeting minutes first.
I would make a motion that we approve the minutes of the regular meeting on 11th of August 2020. Oh, you know what? I better back up. And I'm on the wrong minute, so I better withdraw. Holy cow. How did I get up on them?
Well, that's when we was on.
I was looking at CDRA instead of the regular. Got to be in my wrong stack here.
Oh.
Well, I'll make a motion again that we approve the minutes for 11 August 2020, 6:30 p.m. regular meeting as stated.
Second.
Yeah, the motion by Russell and seconded by Justin to approve the city council minutes August 11th, 2020. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, next, next item is to approve the city council meetings of the August 25th, 2020.
One's the public hearing and one's the regular meeting.
So let's do the city council meeting first since I said that.
Make a motion to approve the August 25th city council meeting, 2026, regular meeting. Minutes.
Second. Yeah, the motion by Sam and seconded by Justin to approve the city council minutes of the August 25th, 2020, regular meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The next item to approve is the city council, or the public hearing from August 25th. Minutes on that.
I'll make a motion to approve the city council minutes for 25th of August, 2020, 6:00 p.m. for the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, the motion by Justin and seconded by Russ to approve the public hearing held on August 25th, 2020. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item is approval of adjustments.
Now we got the hearing. Why did you do that?
We just done that. Okay. That's the one we just done.
Okay.
Approval of the adjustments dated 8-1 to 8-31 of 2020 in the dollar amount of $3,281.61.
Questions I had on that too. Well, what was the meter wrong on them or something? You know,
on the wall ditch fault?
Yeah, and then the Sorensen well.
Sorensen well.
I think those are the adjustments that they're doing because Sam, Sam, they give them a credit for if they use it during the non-peak hours.
Okay.
That's what I understand it is that they get some kind of reimbursement, I guess just credit back to the.
It was their incentive to get them to use it at a time when it's not during peak hours. It's my
understanding. So how, is that automatically
bill,
just.
That's a bill that's mentioned. It's not a credit, it's a bill. I'm wondering if there was some issue with the reading where that's because that's the bill. That's a positive.
Yeah, it's a fuzzy one.
I'm trying to figure.
Oh, yeah. Does that time of use come up automatically, or how does that work? I mean, if...
I'm pretty sure it's something that Shane has to get a meter read on and look at, and that's probably why it has to be manually billed and shows as an adjustment.
So is that possible that they didn't use it at time of use, much like the bill versus maybe the credit?
I'm just thinking that's probably has a lot of manual...
There's a lot of manual entry that has to happen, but I don't know. I'd have to follow up with Natalie on that one.
Probably the regular bill, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a regular bill that they have to do it manually instead of making an adjustment on it. Yeah, and then there's the Turpin well, too, or the pump there.
But see it? Yeah, that's kind of problem number one, but the other, what's the Mount Pleasant Academy? Is it a credit? It's got both.
Got the school?
It's credit and reading.
The boys' homes out of town.
Oh.
There's his own water meter, though.
Yeah, those are both.
Must have been some kind of adjustment on the reading or something?
The meter got changed out, it wasn't reading. And then they have a huge leak.
Did they fix it?
I don't know if they fixed it yet or not.
I'll make a motion, we approve the transaction register from August 1st to August 31st, 2020, for $3,281.61.
Only question I have for you, on that top of the panel, if they got a credit, they would have to have the leak fixed first, correct?
They should, yeah.
Oh, is that the policy?
Yes. So if it ain't been fixed, that'd be my only double check.
Good point.
The set credit.
So you want me to change my motion with that in it, or?
They've got a big leak.
Since the credit and agreed, my guess was the bill went up with too high of a bill.
But if they've got a leak.
Yeah, if they have a leak, they have to be.
That's a whole other story, actually, that's just what I'm getting at, is if it's.
Well, if they've got a leak, I don't know.
Credit and meter reading, that's what it says.
Sometimes when the meter read gets put in when they pull the meter, sometimes it's not put in correctly, and that will have to adjust it.
Right, yeah, I know.
Being an Android, I'm assuming it's the meter that was pulled was not put in right, but.
Like I said, yeah, I get all that, I've done that, the only part that changes is if it's got a leak involved.
Right.
So is that typically, if they have a leak, they come to ask for forgiveness, and then we don't do that?
There's supposed to be according to policy, yes. If they get their leak fixed, then they can come and.
But this was not that scenario, was it, or was it?
What it probably is, the meter hadn't read for probably 7 months, and so I put the end read in, when I changed the meter out, and I billed them $1,700, and I couldn't go back that far, so she credited part of that back.
So I guess, to Sam's point, they probably ought to follow up and make sure if there is a leak that it's been.
Probably wasn't a leak, it was just probably a GPS.
They had a leak too.
But it wasn't part of the credit.
But it wasn't part of the credit. But we can just double check.
But you gave them some of their usage back though, right?
Right, because it depends.
A leak, but that's on a leak still.
We need to check on the leak.
The leak still contributed to the usage.
Correct. That makes any sense.
So how do we want to proceed?
Approve the adjustments with.
With looking into.
With follow-up on the Mount Pleasant Academy leak.
Okay. Can you change that, say that language? Thanks.
Yeah, because both of those are reimbursements from us.
Okay.
Okay. I have a motion by Justin and seconded by Sam to approve the transition register dated 8/1/2020 to 8/31/2020. For the dollar amount of $3,281.61, with the follow-up that we look at the Mount Pleasant Academy as their leak to make sure that gets fixed. Roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
All right. Next item is approval of claims. The invoice register dated 8/25/2020 to 9/8/2020 in the dollar amount of $412,554.69. $97,000 on legal finance. Is that
principal and interest on a debt service, it looks like, right?
Yep, $50,000 is a street bond and $47,000 on the arena.
So that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah, and then that power bill's pretty high too.
I was looking for that, I couldn't find it.
You know anything on the hardware program with the six-pack cedar hand wash and the septic absorb gel?
What's the gel?
106, 600, 145. Well, no, sorry, 143. It's 106, 620, 143. Hardware store. Page 9. Where's bottom?
Six-pack cedar hand wash. 10462, so that's...
Cool.
Oh, that cool? I just, okay. I just, I was thinking, I didn't know where that was going to fit in, that was kind of weird.
What was it?
So page 9, it's cedar, or some scentsy stuff, smelly stuff. I don't know if they're using that in the toilet, or where they're using that.
Citrus odor absorb gel too, they must have some odors going on up there.
And I have it at some regular bike, it's about, so it's a little, I'm pretty good at doing them.
We ready for a motion?
We got anything else you can see?
I am on one over here.
Any other questions you got, Kevin?
You good?
I don't have any. I can make a motion that we approve the invoice register dated 8/25/2020 to 9/8/2020, in the amount of $412,554.69.
Okay. Got the motion by Kevin and seconded by Justin to approve invoice register 8/25/2020 to 9/8/2020 for the dollar amount of $412,554.69. Roll call.
Justin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
And Dan.
Yes.
No requisition approvals.
It's a first.
None, huh?
None. There's those for that we just approved too.
Okay, so going on to the public participation. Ryan.
Isn't this requisition right here?
Or is it? I don't have it.
Oh,
I didn't see one either.
That's from your past meeting. That was the last meeting that you missed.
Well, that's not in the box.
Okay. Boy, I'm really, I shouldn't wait. I shouldn't have gone with that, should I?
those.
We're ready for...
So public participation, Ryan, do you want to come up and present what you have?
I have a couple of questions. I'm building a house on 300 East from 368 South. And when I bought the lot, the realtor misled me to believe that all the utilities were there. And come to find out they weren't. And I bought the lot before I did my due diligence because I believed them. And so everything is in now except for the water. And I just had some questions about that. Is if I talked to the city in there, and they say that it's 100% my responsibility to get the water from the east side of the road to the west side of the road where my residence is. And I just didn't know if there was any leeway or any way to maybe help me out with those costs getting it across, because I'm paying the impact fee to hook up the water at the meter, which I know that doesn't have anything to do with getting the water to the lot. It just has, I'd have to pay the impact fee, even if the, you know, if the meter was already there, the impact fee would still be the same. But I didn't know if there's...
The hookup fee, because right now we don't have an impact fee.
I think it was like $1,300.
That's the hookup fee.
Yeah, the connection. Hookup fee, sorry. Yeah. And so I didn't know if there was any way that we could maybe share the cost of it to get it across the street, or if there, if you guys were doing anything else. I just didn't know if there was a way to...
So that's just the connection we get across the street?
You got
the main line's there. It's just,
it's on the east side of the street.
On the east side of the street. My house on the west side. And so it's like 90 feet of from my property line to the east side of where the main is. It's roughly around 90 feet.
What was the address again?
368 South, 300 East.
It's a lot of calls from Rod and Jenny.
Okay. Yeah, the one right there.
But I know we, when I talk to the realtor, he's got a... 368
South, 300 East.
He's got a hot tap it into the water main, and then he said he'd hook up the meter and everything while we're there doing it, getting across the road. I just didn't know if there was a way to, if you guys have been...
Not on a connection fee.
If I understand, that $1,300 pays for the materials too, right?
Yeah. It's just material, so...
Yeah, but the labor installation's on the owner.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any other circumstances where we've had a lot of people that have those alongside services, and we've...
What was your bid, Ryan?
It was 31 to dig it and patch, and 26 to drill. But digging it and patching it, everybody's like 6 to 8 weeks out, and to drill it, MKJ said they could do it in 3 weeks, as soon as they could get to it.
So my guys can get it done.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is there, because of what the time limits I'm running into with these other subs, I'm getting one more bid from Alder tomorrow, but I didn't know if I can incur the cost and stuff, can I pay you guys to do it?
So the old connection fee used to be $2,337,
okay.
And that was with us doing the labor.
Okay.
I don't know how council feels, but the difference is $963.
Okay. Yeah, that was another question I had, if I could pay you guys. I didn't know what your time schedule was, if you guys could do it sooner than anybody else, because everybody was so busy. I mean, if I was going to pay somebody, and you guys had the time, can I pay you guys to do it if I had, you know?
We wouldn't be able to do it this week, but we could probably get on it next week.
So that would be, and that's a better time schedule than anything I've ran into, other than, like I said, I'm meeting with Todd Alder tomorrow, and he can really give me a timeline. He just said he'd come up and give me a price and look at it. So, and that was, you know, a question I had, is if you guys could do it, you know, if your timetable allowed you to do it sooner, because I'd like to, because that's basically one of the things that's kind of holding me up to just finish it and get it moving down.
Yeah, with council blessing, I don't have a problem with putting it on our schedule if you wanted to pay that difference.
I guess my concern or question is if we do that for you, are we going to have to do it with everybody else that comes along that wants that done?
Yep.
I don't think we should.
And the other thing is, that's why we don't have any impact fees, is we determined when we went away from the impact fees and seeing the consequences of it, the city was then ending up paying for all of the hookups.
and we have that fee, but in a lot of the line extensions, it didn't even scratch the surface on covering the cost of those line extensions. And so the determination was made, we don't have impact fees, that the homeowner would pay the cost with an independent contractor to get the, all of the utility to the lots. That's right. And, you know, if we go, now we're kind of just, and yeah, your suggestion is worthwhile, but to extend that line and patch that road and all of that, now you're setting a precedence, and these contractors are telling you $3,000, and I'll guarantee you it's going to cost us a lot more than $900 to do that.
So it's not a line extension, it's just a service?
Well, it's across the street.
Right.
And it's digging the road up and patching the road and running the line. Whereas the service would be if the line is on our side and the contractor digs it out to the road, then you set the meter and everything for the $1,300, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's the way I understand that it's set.
Yeah.
So, which is materials and labor and so forth and so on. So, this is a situation where we've implemented that so that the city didn't incur these costs. And some of them involved line extensions and crossing the road and everything like you've done. And if we do that for one, there's no reason why everybody else is facing that same situation right now. First of all, they can't get contractors to do it. And second of all, it does cost a lot of money. But those are things you mentioned, you wasn't aware of these things. And what we've tried to put into place is we now have a person who goes out and inspects a lot when somebody's building to make sure that they understand all of these costs that are going to be incurred.
Right.
And unfortunately, you didn't have that luxury.
Right. And that was the first question I asked the realtor, and I don't know if she actually even knew or not. She just said yes. Well, and I didn't do any due diligence on top of that.
And she probably assumed that because the main line was there, that yeah, the infrastructure's there. I don't know the conversation. I'm just making an assumption that I don't know that she was necessarily misleading you, because typically if you have water, sewer, everything accessible, then you say yeah, the lot has access to utilities. So
right. But
the other thing was we were having a lot of building permits at one time, and we were having a hard time keeping up with them with our crew, because they had a lot of other things to do, and so we felt like this would kind of alleviate a lot of burden on them to do other things instead of having the whole crew on a water service that takes away from other things. So there was several reasons why I think we implemented that the homeowner pay the contractor to put those in, but we wanted continuity or uniform meters and the taps and everything. We still want to be a part of that plus an inspection. So I don't know, I guess if it's the consensus or the feeling of the council to go back to where we were and have our crews do all the services, I guess that's what, if we go this route, that's kind of what we're opening back up.
I certainly don't think we're prepared to do that. We were trying to solve a problem in the first place, and why open up the door to have that problem come back on us? I don't know. I empathize with your problem there. I really do. But if we do it for one, then we're going to be obligated to change our policies and do it for everyone.
Can I say something? Sorry. I mean, so the city has to be paid to be there at the same time the contractor's there. So we're both paying people to be there to put the water line in. Does that make sense? Like, you're paying for it too, and so we're paying at the same time to have all these people there.
Well, that $1,300 includes their time, should.
And that's why I'm asking that. I didn't know if it was possible for me to ask the city if I could pay them to do it. If I have to incur the costs in it, I understand that. But if they're going to be there anyway, can I pay you guys to do it so I don't have to pay another contractor?
They're not going to be there anyway. One person should be there just inspecting the... Just as you get...
Well, they got to hot tap it and put the meter, so they got
to... Your contractor will...
I don't know how long you have to be there. I just didn't know if I can pay you guys as like a subcontractor to bring the line across. the road. Or, you know, because of the time restraints everybody's telling me, I didn't know if you guys could get to it quicker. If I have to incur the cost, I want to check all my options of who can do it the fastest, and you guys know what you're doing. I just didn't know. That was one of my questions is,
sure.
If I'm for sure I have to pay for it, can I hire you guys to do it? That was good. But I didn't know who, you know, I don't know if you have to ask them or get their approval.
Yeah, I would go through council.
And then when you, does your, like if I have MKJ do it, if you don't, the water line from the meter to the main line on the east side of the road, do you guys supply that water line?
Yeah, so when I come up, all they're digging is the trench.
Just the trench, okay. That, he asked me that one question. He says, do I need to supply the water line from the main line to the meter?
No.
And I said I didn't
ask. Style, core, poly from the
meter. Wait a minute.
So they just need to dig the trench, you guys will lay it in, and then pat.
Just so they make sure that
it's compact and patch it.
So everything's the same.
And then we go from the meter to my house.
Otherwise, you're...
And I just didn't know if you guys had time to do that part of the road.
And so we're out a little bit, but I get their point too, where if I do it for...
If I hire you guys to do it, then somebody else would want you guys to do it also.
It's going to save some amount of time.
Even though we're willing to pay for it, it's not something you want to start...
To get back into.
Yeah, as one of your duties. Yeah. Even though I'm willing to pay for it.
Contractors up busy that they can't get to you before then?
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess if I would have known that they were that far out, I had the stucco and the brick and the scaffold and everybody's stuff set up for about 6 weeks, so I couldn't get in there anyway to do it. I could have gone across the road, but I wanted to kind of do it all at the same time, get to the house, and I didn't realize that everybody was going to tell me they were 6 to 8 weeks.
Is your sewer hooked up?
Yeah.
So why didn't they just do the water at the same time as they did the sewer?
Because the sewer is, they redid the sewer on my side of the road. And so all I had to do was just run from my house to my, the sewer was on my side of the road.
Sure.
But the water, we just
cross the road.
Have to cross the road.
I guess I just don't understand what the difference is. If it's still... Well,
the sewer is already on his side of the road. The water's on the opposite side.
It's not stubbed to his property yet. He had to pay to get it stubbed over.
No, it was stubbed.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, there was something wrong with the sewer that was in there, and they had to redo it. And so when they redid it, they stubbed it into my...
Oh. Well, you got lucky on that one.
Yeah, I got lucky on that one. So, I was just...
I feel for you, but I just feel really uneasy about setting a precedent, because the next guy that has the same situation is going to come to ask us, and we're going to just have to say yes, and then pretty soon we're just back to our same... same standard, I guess, of just having our public works guys do it. So,
okay. Those are my questions. I just wanted to clarify some things and didn't know if you guys could do it, if I could hire you to do it for time restraints, but I understand. I don't want to dive into that aspect.
Have you talked to Clausen? You mentioned Todd Alder.
Jason?
What about Jason Clausen? There's Terry Brotherson. There's several.
Brotherson doesn't do anything in town right now.
Okay.
And I talked to Clausen, and he won't give me a price. He just wants to come out and do it and bill me.
Well, I think you might talk to him. He might find he's very fair.
He's fair.
Yeah, I had. He's the one that put in my sewer.
How about Branch?
He's MJK. He's the one he's got a bid from.
So they're the ones that were, they can drill it in 3 weeks, but they're 6 to 8 weeks out on digging it. Which nobody knows what kind of rock or how big the rocks are underneath the road. So if they start to drill it and they can't get through at 3 feet down, at what you require, you know, 3 feet,
yeah.
The water line underneath the road.
Minimum 36.
Minimum 36. So if they start drilling and they get halfway across and then they hit a boulder, because when they did the sewer, we got some boulders the size of my truck. They're sitting in my front yard right now. So if they hit one of those, then they got to stop drilling. Yeah. Stop drilling, and then they're going to have to dig it anyway.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, so.
See, that's why the contractors are reluctant to bid it, because they don't know what's under that road either.
Right.
And we estimate a cost,
But I question, you know, we may run into those same problems.
We had a bigger hole on another job up there. Did we have to bring in a bigger hole on that one job that Paul and Bob did?
Yeah.
Our hole would move the rock they had up there, so we had, see, so we already run into it.
What, are you your, did you act as your own contractor on the hole?
Yeah, I'm a contractor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't get your name.
Ryan Barkey.
Well, I don't know what, unfortunately, we'd be going against policy for one thing.
Okay.
And, you know, they've already explained what kind of can of worms we'd open up. I just don't think we're prepared. In fact, impact fees are right around the corner. They really are. And it's for this very reason. It's because those line extensions cost a lot of money.
Okay.
Even for our crews to do it, it takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if we we'd have a process to go through if we're going to redo the policy and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
I don't know if we're prepared to do that right now.
No, I understand.
That's my concern. We do appreciate you coming in, because sometimes you don't understand the whys. And so the only way you're going to find out is to come in and ask.
Yep.
And sometimes we can offer solutions that may help, and other times we have to, the hardest part is being able to say no, having to say no.
Yeah. I pretty much, with my conversation with Coulter, I pretty much understood everything except for the couple questions I had tonight. So
yeah. So it sounds like maybe even more concerned with the timing issue than the cost, it sounds to me like, as far as getting the contractor there and getting it done.
Right.
I mean, a service line, you know, $3,000 is quite incidental to the construction of a whole house. To me, that's
right.
That's all part of the package.
And then, you know, like I say, the timeline, 6 to 8 weeks, another 6 to 8 weeks of interest on the construction loan, you know, so that's why I was kind of curious if I could hire a few
guys. I would talk to Jason and just see if he can squeeze that in.
That's the other thing. You know, we find a pool of contractors that have been doing us an excellent job.
Yeah.
And then we turn around and we start undercutting them. They're relying on that work to keep them busy. And then we turn around and
compete with them.
Don't factor in the overhead that we actually have. I mean, yes, it might cost them $900, but that's not counting all the overhead costs associated with it. And you know, then we're cutting the throats of the contractors that have agreed to do them for us and all those kind of things. It's just a sticky situation. It really is.
Okay.
Because we've really informed the people, or certain approved contractors that we know they'll do you a good job, and we won't have problems with it when they finish. They'll be done right, and I think there's them obligations that we've made, and we need to. It's our obligation to stick to our existing policy for right now.
Okay, I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for that time.
Next item, discussion.
Is there any others?
No, that was it. Right? That was it. Discussion on the Brad Parrish appeal on the building permit. Brad, you want to come up?
Hello, Brad.
How are you?
We're doing good so far. It's still daylight.
We're not frozen out either.
No, heat's on.
Yeah. Did you talk to...
When we left off, we were supposed to talk. We were going to go talk to our lawyers. And
I didn't talk to Kevin. I just talked to Dave earlier today, and sounds like that we've got an opinion from him that we're, from my understanding, we're on pretty solid ground to deny the approval. I'm only one voice here, so I don't want to take over, but knowing the circumstances and the process that the lot was basically recorded at the county without coming through the planning commission approval, I think that's mainly the grounds that we're denying it, is that it never went through the formal process.
Well, you approved it after it was done, though.
Who did?
You did. This when you started planning and zoning, because after I had it split, you give me a piece of paper that says I can build a house on it after that split was made.
Is that after the split?
First one.
The first
one. On the first one, yeah.
From my understanding,
I had it split on a timeline that started here. You guys approved it on here, and now I'm back for another one.
I thought city had no idea that it was split, though. Well, because you never come through planning and zoning.
And I had no idea that I was going to get to this point and be denied for a second one, because the first one was approved. I thought I'd done my job correctly, and I thought you guys done your job correctly.
From my understanding, the first one was approved as when it was still one lot.
No, it wasn't.
Well, then I have a misunderstanding, because and the reason that was approved was because it was a grandfathered lot that was less than
nobody knew anything about it being a grandfathered lot until recently, and so it was split beforehand. I've got the paperwork on it at home that says it was split beforehand, and then this permit was if
there's but there's no city signatures or anything on it.
Yes, there is.
On the split.
On the split, but I thought I hired somebody to do it. I thought they'd done the better right.
Well, if there's nothing on the split, then it still didn't go through planning and zoning to approve the split. So your house, the first one, the original house, would be fine on no split. But as soon as it's been split now with no city approval, that's where you're running into your problem. Does that make sense?
But let me just, I wasn't here when you had all the discussion, but when a person, if you're planning to develop that lot, wouldn't you approach planning and zoning, especially if you knew that it didn't meet certain specifications, wouldn't you? If you were thinking, hey, I got this little piece of property, I'd like to maybe build something on it, I would think that the first step that you would go through would be to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and say, I've got this piece of property, I'd like to apply for a permit to build a home on it, and let them look at it and say, well, you don't meet this criteria or that criteria. I just think there's a chain or a process there that maybe should be gone through to ensure you, especially before you went and to all the bother of splitting it and all that. I don't know. I wasn't
clear. Well, I agree. So this is my first planning and zoning that I had to deal with right here. Was this piece of paper that you guys gave me, and the requirements on here state a minimum size lot of 10,000 square feet or a quarter acre. Front setback 30 feet back, side setback 20 feet, the other side 10 feet. Doesn't say anything about where I'm coming up.
Was that in planning and zoning, or was that just a building permit?
That's a building permit from before, but that comes
but isn't, the, isn't there anything on there that says, is it?
That says no pleasant zoning approval process.
We don't have the minimum 90-foot road frontage.
I was going to say, is there anything on that
because you can have
application that says how much frontage you should have?
Right.
So it doesn't have anything about 90 feet on here?
Because a building permit does all different zones, and zones are different on your frontage. So even if we'd have 90 feet on there, you'd have to list all three or four zones that we have.
90 feet of frontage on there instead of 10,000 square feet. Why not put them both on there?
We'd have to list all the different zones.
Well, it seems like 90 feet's a pretty standard for a lot of lots.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is, why did we put a few of them on here and not enough of them? I mean, the page has obviously got more room down here. We could have filled her up. It was approved before. I didn't know that I needed to have it approved through the city. I mean, obviously, I guess everybody needs to read the codes before building a house, doing
anything. Well, any lot split, I guess you can record anything you want at the county.
Well, the county, when I asked the county about it, they said what they tell whoever's recording this, it's up to you to make sure you have city zoning approval. So, I mean, it might be a conversation
that we have to have with our county recorder, say, will you guys please not record any lot splits without a signed document from our city, because it creates this kind of a problem down the road.
And if they'd had that meeting with me, or said that, talked to me about that, I still wouldn't know anything, because I didn't go through them to split it. I went through a title agency to split it.
Do you think there's room to put another structure, a hall? Are you putting a, you're planning to put a home on that little piece of property?
Absolutely.
Well, is there room for, have you got those dimensions that it talks about right there?
Yep.
You got that, read that again.
Minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet or a quarter acre, and I've got one third of it.
I know, but what did it say about from the side?
Side setback 20 feet, the other side 10 feet, and the front setback.
Okay, so you got 30 feet of clearances there. Mm-hmm. So your house is going to be how wide?
30 feet.
So you're going to, and so you're going to squeeze that in there.
So my lot size is 62 feet minus 30. Leaves you with 32 feet, minus 20 leaves you with 12 feet, so I've got a 2 feet buffer zone.
He's got his other house on the other block in that same width, and that was approved through the building permit process. But I think that when that was approved, there was, and I guess I can't speak because I wasn't a part of that or didn't know anything about the discussion, but I'm. From what I understand, that there was an understanding that lot was one piece at that point in time.
One.
Three. And because it was non-conforming, it was 60 feet wide, because it was established long before we had all our ordinances and stuff in place, it was a grandfathered lot. That's why.
This is the previous lot that he built on.
Yeah, but it's.
It started as an original lot,
62 feet wide, whole block width.
And I'm all in favor. This is the previous one.
It's the same lot.
It's the same lot. He bought it one time, and then he bought it. It was 62 feet and the whole block long, and then he went and split it.
Okay.
It started out at 62 feet by 429 feet long. Now it's 62 feet. About 214 and a half feet long.
All right, I'm with you now. And so you've already done that.
So we've already put
on that first on second deep, or no, on second south.
First north.
First south.
First south. First
yeah.
South.
Yeah. Already done that on first south. Now you're wanting to do it on second south. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. According to planning and zoning, we did take the planning zoning to deny you. That's why you came here.
Because of the frontage.
On the second permit, they denied
me. Well, let me ask you, why don't we have that? Isn't the 90 feet in our codes? Or,
yeah, yeah.
So it's in our codes, but it's not in the application?
Just because it's a generic application. So you have different zones. I mean, we either have to list every one, it'd be up to them to try to determine what zone they're in, or we have to make a different billing application for every single different type of zone.
You mean we got zones in town where the frontage is different?
Yeah. Yes.
You got residential, you got residential, agricultural, commercial.
That's not uncommon.
For building, though. For
yes.
Building.
Yeah.
Yep.
And each one has different things. I mean, if you don't use a generic one, then each one of them has to specifically have their own
applications
for each zone. And then you got to make sure you're not screwing them up and giving them the wrong zone.
It depends on where you're at or who you are, and you can build wherever you want to. If you get in that subdivision up there, they can do whatever they want to. There's apartments all over that place, and there's houses without 90 feet of frontage, and there's
that's what we're trying to get away from. That's what we're trying to get away from is the city, and
that is a non-conforming subdivision to start with.
And squelch it, you know, I'm trying to, not just you, but we just had another situation just before you there with him, you know. If we go and we say, okay, we'll have the city do it, now we've opened a can of worms there, and that's what we're fighting here as a city council,
right,
is trying to do the right thing so that it's right for everybody else hereafter.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what everybody else's problems are, but I've been approved once, I just settled.
So the problem from the planning commission is to be prepared for it.
big lawsuit, like you've seen them turn down John McCloud and some others where they've...
Dale Lewis was turned in the same one too.
So would this not turn into a big lawsuit?
No.
No.
How would that not? Well, one's a person, one's done.
We're following the city code.
You didn't follow it here.
On which?
The first one.
Because Canada, it's established law, so we could just...
It didn't even go to planning zoning, did it?
Yeah, it did.
That's the first one?
Yeah, they all, everybody signed it.
So the first one was grandfathered in because it was a pre-existing lot.
Right.
So it's entitled to one house on that existing grandfather.
But do all building permits go to planning and zoning?
No.
No.
No, are you sure it went to planning and zoning? You're just saying it got...
It goes through...
I'm saying it says Mount Pleasant City zoning.
I guess that's what it was.
That was about the...
So whoever signed it,
It's already an existing lot. There's nothing being split or anything.
That's the only time when you start doing splits and the other houses.
So if that's the case, if this one didn't go to zoning, why did this one?
Because it's a split lot.
Because it's been split untrue planning and zoning.
But this one had been split. This one was split.
No, they knew that.
How did they know it was?
So we got to look at plot maps, wondering why it was being built on a 60-foot, 62-foot.
Are you plot map for this one?
So I'm all in favor if there's some kind of a solution to this. I mean, otherwise it either needs to become part of his yard or be just a vacant lot as a weed patch. So, I mean, I'm not saying that we should override the planning and zoning on the denial, but if we've got some lots that are like that in town that we know of that we want people to be able to build on, maybe we should look at the code or the general plan and figure out how to navigate through those. But right now, we don't have any course to do that other than just say, give him a variance. And then in the interim, if somebody else that we've already denied comes or somebody wants to split a lot into 60 feet frontage, then how do we say no?
Where do you advocate all of the parking is going to take place on this house?
In the driveway.
You advocate that, here's the other problem that we see, Brad, and it's all over town, is people, they have a small lot, so they put a driveway into their house, a single car driveway, and pretty quick you got four other vehicles parked out on the road. Is that, and it sounds like to me that more than likely that's going to be the situation on this situation.
I disagree with that. I've had this house sitting on First South, and there's not been but one vehicle, maybe park out there a month for a day, and that's it, on the city streets. The rest of it parks in the driveway or behind the house.
So you have provisions for them to park in the back?
I absolutely do.
Well, it's deep enough, he could set that house back far enough.
There's a driveway that goes along the side of the house in the right of ways, and there's a parking area in the back behind the house with concrete and everything and gravel and yard that is yellow now.
And have you provided planning zoning with a plot showing all of that and they still rejected it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And well, I did states and everything else. And I don't know why anybody would have known different between this one and this one, because all the paperwork's the same.
Well,
I turned in the same paperwork.
Is that
one as the other?
Is that the first house you did over on First South?
This is the permit you guys signed off on, or everybody signed off on.
So what was the date on that?
On First South, yeah.
2016.
And then what was the date that the lot was split?
It was in 9th month. So what's 10, October, so in September.
So a month before you got back to split the lot?
Through the county.
Through the county.
Through a title agency.
But the first...
But the court, yeah.
But as I understand it, the first lot, the one that you done on First South, was already a lot split, right?
It was already a grandfathered lot.
It was already a grandfathered lot.
Right. So you have to kind of grant that first permit unless, like, your house plans when you accept something like that.
So when did lot splits come into play? When was that code brought up?
It's been in...
That grandfather thing, we don't know. All we know is we're trying to correct a lot of mistakes that have happened in this community.
So when was the lot split? When did it come into fruition with the code?
1999.
Long time ago.
1999, because this property, then if that's the case, this property, I bought it from Sandy County, which never had any setup whatsoever towards Mount Pleasant City, so it'd been, that would have been before the code splits, or the codes and everything.
No, you went for the lot split till after that section of code was created.
I think that's our point, is that was established prior to our last code revision or whatever it is that required the different frontages and all the areas and things like that. So
anytime that a building permit comes in, they go on the plot map and they look in here in the city offices. Okay? So when that comes up, the first time it would be the old plot map before you ever split it. So that's why that grandfather was in for the first one. Because they're only updated, what, every year, every 2 years?
Yeah, we would have seen that a month
ago. Yeah, we would have seen this lot split.
There's a lot that's not updated in that book.
But if it happened just 1 month prior and we...
It would have never been noticed.
Here, we have to really show that when you're talking to... And sometimes, so we want to just do the kind of informal. Approximately, it's here.
Well, it was in the paperwork, so that the lot was the size it was. So they could have went and looked in there and seen that, hey, this is... Because right here's the piece of paper. You know, 429 feet long. This piece of paper here says it's 214.50 feet long by 62.0404 feet long. So right there is everybody's, you know, you could have looked at that point. Whenever you looked in that book and you seen it was 429 feet, didn't that throw a flag that it wasn't 214 feet? Because
I don't know. I wasn't there.
What, you there?
But all I'm saying is just because we did overlooked it once, does that mean we should just continue to do that? As a city, we're obligated, if we do find something that's not right, to correct it. For that's good practice.
So whose mistake is it? Whose mistake is it?
I don't think there's any blame. I just think it's both parties, you know, most people. Well, I mean, how do you blame? You guys don't make it wrong. I mean, so you've got the problem now. You either, I think, you know, we just, I mean, I
guess my question is, did Brad do everything he was supposed to do, and did we drop it as a city, or?
You know, not necessarily, because that should have came as a lot split, if that's the case, to the planning and zoning.
Well, it should have, but it wasn't. So it got there this go around, but it didn't make it there this one.
That's well, all I'm saying is that first.
That's my point. I didn't know I was doing anything wrong whenever I turned in all this paperwork. You have a lot of fingers.
I'm not saying.
You could really the building permit that they denied, it would be more of a lot split. Because it doesn't meet the code. How can they grant that?
Right. I can see that from the planning zoning. It doesn't conform to the code, so why would they approve it?
And if you tie, how do you approve that one after you deny like 3, 4, 5, 6 other?
But I guess the answer to Bull's question is yes and no. He went through the, I guess, title company to get a new meets and bounds description for both lots, but he never came to the planning and zoning to split the lot.
Did you get approval to split the lot?
I mean, when I hire a lawyer, I'm assuming that they're doing what's right for me. I know that they're sometimes going to do.
Well, what did you tell them? You needed a lot split.
I told them I want to split this up and do this.
And they needed a legal description for it, so they did what you asked them to do. But
And I assume that they went through and got a hold of Mount Pleasant City or Timbuktu and says, hey, this is what we're doing.
Well, apparently they never did that.
That's why I'm a little frustrated too with the county recorder that they could record it without any authorization from the city, because now you've taken the authority of Mount Pleasant City and says, we don't care if you sign off or not. It really, the county had really slapped us in the face.
Yeah, but when in the previous relationships that I've had with the city of building stuff with them, you guys don't require building permits. We can just go on and start building, doing stuff. This building out here at the city park
or the cemetery out here that was built back in the day. We built it, and I was told that I didn't have to have, well, that would obtain a permit.
City job or what?
It would have been a city job.
Well, that's different.
And so, I mean,
It's a government.
It's still a government thing. I think they're doing the job and you're doing the job, and I think if you can get away with things that I don't know.
That's the city doing its own permit. I mean, that'd be.
Yeah.
I could get a building permit through the county to build this thing. Plus, I gotta get the city, so you help me out on that? I don't know, it was approved once.
Well, I make a motion that we don't go against planning and zoning. And it is, I mean, it sucks, and I'm not trying to be a bad guy, but, I mean, at some point, something's gotta go forward with the right motion.
I agree with you. I really do. I thought about this for a week or two here, and I thought, well, you just said two wrongs don't make a right. Somewhere we got to right the ship. And somebody's going to pay, whether it's you or somebody else down the road. You know, we do this for you. There's going to be somebody else in here before very long with the same problem. They're going to say, well, you done it for Parrish, now why aren't you going to do it for me? And that's what we're faced with. We're getting so much of this since I've been in here. I'm going, wow. We've kicked the old can down the road so many times that I'm with Sam. I think we just, I'm with denying it where I am.
Well, I wish I had a little bit more understanding of what's went on with planning and zoning and all of that kind of stuff. And your previous, you were able to do the first one. It sounded like to me because there was some things in place that allowed you to do so. Whether it was a grandfather clause or a previous arrangement or whatever. But obviously, obviously now the planning and zoning does not feel like it's right. And without knowing more than what I do, I agree. We've tried to fix a lot of problems in this community of home. And you mentioned that one subdivision up there. Yes, we know all about it, and we've been dealing with the consequences from day one, Brad. And it's because it progressed to this point without any oversight whatsoever. And we are seriously trying to rectify some of those problems. If there was previous agreements, we don't have anything really formally documented, but the reality of it is it's probably not a good fit. And I say that tongue in cheek because I don't know all of the details.
Right. The ethics of it is where, you know, you just gotta, at one point, we gotta, and I'm sorry it has to happen to you, Brad, I do, because I think you've done a lot of good.
Yeah. We need to be able to change the ordinance is what we need.
Yeah, that's what we need to be able to do.
Well, and that's what we need to really do.
Maybe that can be done through the general plan process, and whatever comes out of that, then you adjust the code accordingly. But we're not to that point right now. That's not saying that we won't be a year or two from now. Maybe we can make concession for some of those situations. But right now, I think we'd be going against what we have as a standard and a value for planning, in my opinion.
If I was on planning and zoning and I'd researched all of this and made this recommendation and had the city council override the work that we've done, that would be kind of a slap in the face to the planning and zoning commission too. I feel
exactly. That's what I say.
I got to trust that they've done their due diligence, and if they haven't, then we'll have to learn about it. But at this point, I've got to trust that they've done their due diligence. And I'm not going to, without knowing more details than I do, I'm not going to go against what they've determined. That's where I stand on it.
Okay.
So for right now, maybe table that project and wait to see if something else happens. And if you feel like there needs to be an ordinance change or something, then maybe that's something you could petition the city to do.
Thanks. Next item is discussion action on fraud risk assessment. Dave.
Yeah, about the start of this fraud risk assessment.
Did we finish that motion?
No. I think it's just kind of motion and then.
Yeah, motion. Russell is the second.
So then we, and then everybody said that, so we better vote on it, huh? We better do roll call on it. Oh, we better finish that then, sorry. Okay, Sam made the motion, Russell seconded on the decision.
I just put denied or request.
Denied their.
Planning commission.
Yep, so let's do a roll call on that.
Thank you for picking up on that.
Yeah.
Get her done.
So it's gone right.
Justin?
Yeah, yes.
Yes to deny.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes. Okay.
I hate this part of the city council.
No?
Well.
Because I can't understand where he's coming from.
We need, but you can only beat the dead horse so much.
But we can't just be kicking the can down the road.
No, we need to change the ordinance. If we're going to allow one person, we need to change the ordinance and lot size and frontage and everything.
That's correct. It's something that the planning commission is talking about great plans. What would you do? Because I'd sooner see a house there than a lead lot or something.
I would too.
You got to do it though, so we do it the right legal way, so that we're not being arbitrary when we do that.
So what's the reason to have different zones and different widths of lot? Why can't we just have a standard frontage?
Well, like your residential agriculture, you're allowed to have certain animals. Residential, you're not. So,
well, if it's going to be zoned for animals, then you don't build there.
Yeah, so they have to meet different requirements. Yeah. So that's, he's in a residential agriculture, so it does meet those different requirements. So those are the big keys.
I don't know what zone allows the house for 60 feet.
You know.
Yep.
The RA does have a really quirky one where technically it doesn't say the width has to be, for the street frontage has to be 90 feet, but it says the average width of the lot must be 90 feet. Which when it's 60 feet the whole way through.
Yeah, so it's closed and then tapers or something? Then
could, yeah. It's really, really quirky, actually.
You could have a quarter acre lot that's 25 feet wide and 300 feet deep.
Yeah, yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
You know, that's, yep. That's where I'm going. I'm trying to understand it. I've been thinking about it during the week, and I'm trying to understand, well, how do we have, in some places in town, it's all right to have a 60-foot lot, in other places it's not.
Some of that goes back to a grandfather lot split that they approved 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
So again, if that was approved, a lot split back then, we still have to allow them to build on that lot. But the trouble comes on his situation is the split without coming to planning and zoning. Because planning and zoning would have told him, you can build one house, but you can't build another one. Because of the grandfather type deal.
I mean, it is a problem because
there is lots out there.
There are lots in this
situation.
Well, the first thing that I feel should have happened is that, well, the county had that property as a street. It was designated for a street, so that street would go through. That's what should have happened, is that should have been preserved to start with before they sold it.
Yep.
So we could have a, you know, it would be nice to have a street through right there.
It would.
But, I mean, that's neither here nor there at this point. But now you've got a 60-foot strip that you can't do anything with, and like Dave says, it turns into blight because either it becomes part of his property and he landscapes it, or you allow to a home on there so it is kept up.
Yeah, it looks decent that way.
And I think that those are some things we have to weigh, because who wants a 60-foot piece of property there with nothing on it? It's just a weed patch or a fire hazard.
Better off, we need to amend our ordinances somehow that they can petition the neighbors or something around.
I think there's,
and change that setback requirement.
You know, that's kind of a little messy though, because they've got to find, okay, well, how many neighbors can be opposed to it and in favor?
Yep, yeah,
yeah,
it does.
Well, there is different dynamics.
Me, a little home and a lot like that look a lot better than an empty lot that drives up to your waist.
By far, and then the tax revenue we get off of that house, yeah, and everything else.
I don't know. How
it's
you address
issue.
That?
It's a tough,
yeah,
issue.
How you address, how you,
yep.
Because
obviously, we've probably got quite a few of them here in town that's going to fit that criteria, and we're trying to.
So I guess
and so now we're sitting with a.
How hard would it be to inventory all those that are like that?
Take a little bit of work. I mean, it's a lot of.
Well, then you got a lot of people coming in that only has less than the 90 feet. They've got a little bit of a lot there, and then they're, you know, you're going to have, you're just going to have to flat change the zoning law to a different.
I think you should start would be to go to the county and tell them quit approving anything without city approval.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the number one.
That would be a good start. How does the county approve something that's in the city?
That's.
They'll record anything if the title company.
I think there's going to be a better way on that.
Because that happens, right?
And the city is, or the county, I don't think it all.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough deal, too. If you own some property and they tell you you can't build a house on there, you put a teepee on there if you wanted to.
Is this the public conversation?
Well, it's afterwards, but you can join in.
Yeah, it's kind of public.
So there's a longer history there with that property. I don't know if you discussed it, but that property was being, how do I say this? Bob Clyde thought he owned it. And his pasture that exists now used to extend. Sam, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Bob Clyde's fence used to border Brad's home. So in other words, he had that 60 feet. And so Brad goes to the city, and the mayor sold him the property without vacating the property, like the vacation process. There was no advertisement that the city was going to sell that. And then once Brad bought it, he goes to Bob Clyde and says, you have to move your fence. I own this property. So it was a green pasture at one point. It wasn't blighted at all. So particular to this situation.
There's another seaweed you don't know about.
So who owns the property to the west, the 90 foot?
Right. That's him? So Bob passed away, so his wife.
Because that looked like it's about 90 feet to me. That's probably a legal building lot right there.
Yeah. So Bob Clyde thought he owned that property.
That's right. And he was wrong, because back in the day, the plat clearly showed that being a right-of-way.
So is it deeded to the city?
Well, it was just, Sam, if you look at the plat, none of the streets are dedicated to the city.
So here's the thing that I do understand is, because we've had this issue with frontage, well, we've got homes that are built on city right-of-way. Let me put it this way, we encroach on city right-of-way. City domain is eminent on right-of-ways, on roads. So that's why I was curious if it's, so I'm hearing it's a county road, but if it's an actual city road, then it's an eminent domain.
Basically. Well, let me ask you this, is Second South a city road? Because that would have the same status as Second South.
Yeah, Second South is.
Okay, then that was a city right-of-way.
So is it quitclaim? How was it done?
So, well, so again, the county, I mean, all you have to do is go down the recorder to a title company and do the work, and you got it.
So it was totally unclaimed at one time, and he went or claimed it because nobody had their name on it.
Well, but can you claim Second South? What I'm saying is it has right. the same status as Second South.
How does that happen?
It was a big foobar is what it was.
Okay, well, that was a city right-of-way through there. So how did they build the first house on it on First South?
Well, we know the story. The county gave him a building permit without checking with the city.
Well, the city gave him the first building.
Yeah, because at that time it was just recorded in his name.
Didn't he say he bought it from the county?
He said that. He
bought it from the county.
He said that.
He bought the lot from the county?
Mm-hmm. What he just said.
I've never known the county to own any lots.
I have not either.
So be unclaimed.
Unless there was
the county taxes or something.
Be unclaimed, because unless the county totally.
Maybe he bought it on a back tax. Maybe. So fixed, he bought it from the county.
Yeah, but how is it to be a back tax?
There's no back
tax. It's a city right of way.
It was a right of way.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a city right of way road. If it was recorded as a road, because see, there was a couple others that were that way back.
I mean, the way it looks like it was set aside for a road.
Yeah, it does.
I imagine any title company can show you an older plaque that shows that being a road.
But see, the city, like I said, we thought, because we talked, well, we dealt with engineering with what was up there on Cameron Jim Hansen's first house he built there up there on 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And Ludlow and them, we got involved with them, and they're basically, and we went through it all, and it's, city is an eminent domain. Unless you give them a variance, it is eminent domain.
And unless you vacate it officially, it's still public property.
Correct.
Yeah.
So.
That's different. Anyway, let's move on.
Have a special detective to get into this.
Dave, you want to do our fraud risk assessment here?
So I gave you this powerful little score sheet now, so we're scoring pretty good with it, but I think we could pick up a few points. One of the bigger ones would be coming up with a policy that requires employees and elected officials just to sign once a year that will abide by the ethics. We do kind of have a brief section in our personnel policy. So we could maybe come up with a little sheet that we sign, and that'll get us 20 more points on this. I just got our certificate from Justin, but if everyone on the council completes that fraud training too, we'll give you another 20 points. And then the last question I kind of has would be, does the city want to try to have a formal audit committee created? That'll pick up another 20 points.
What's the fraud hotline?
And I started looking into that. If there was a state hotline on fraud, I'm not really finding one. It's easy.
But this is through state auditor, right?
Right.
Isn't this just the new pass that was passed last year?
Yes.
That we have to do this risk assessment?
Once a year.
Once a year?
It's kind of weird you'd have a hotline, but then nobody would find a word of culpability.
Well, me and Dave was talking about this earlier, and about the only really thing that you could do for a hotline would be to have our
city auditors
have that number available for any city employees
they can record it. But if you posted it at like your city hall or something, or then you would be promoted.
Yeah,
so you would have another state auditor's number on there. I would imagine, Kent, that's what I'm wondering, if you can get an easy 20 points that direction, if you had a number to post it, you know, say, hey, this is our,
right.
Show everybody, hey, this is where it posted it.
I take it more if it's a hotline versus if an employee sees an employee or something.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, but if you post it, then it's,
You're
promoting it, so.
So where's which number is the one that Justin just complied with?
He did the, have all board members completed this?
Number five. It's a lot of fun. Email we got.
It's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Critically, it wastes what, about an hour?
An hour, yeah.
I must say, I had to go back and take the quiz a couple different times.
So what is the?
I think I've done that.
So give me a little more light into that. Huh? I think you were. What is the? I guess pros and cons. What's the purpose of this? I know the purpose of it, I'm sure, of that they're trying to prevent fraud and behavior governance. But I mean, are they like, if you get negative scores and everything, do you get slapped on the wrist?
I think if you score too low, you could probably get a personal visit
from the
state auditor's office. The biggest thing they look for, I did that score sheet, is does your city have basic separations of duties, or at the very least mitigating controls? And I think for our size of our city, we'll find better controls, whereas far as like our AP process is very different, our payroll processes, you're having as much as we can with the staff before people doing specific job duties, not just. What the points we're missing on, I was looking at bigger cities, and we're scoring just as good as like Spanish Fork is and some other large cities.
So right now you would recommend that we do number four?
Yeah. And I think we already have...
And number five would be another good one.
Yeah. And then number seven, I think I'll just run it past her auditing first, but I think it'd be fine as soon as
Is number four a disclosure, or is that more of a just an internal agreement?
From what I've read with it, it's more of what the city defines as ethical behavior, and part of that for council, I think, would be like maybe renewing your disclosures or not.
Okay. Because the ethics law, it gives a lot of flexibility as long as you can do a lot of things as long as you've disclosed your conflict.
Yep.
So you can even vote, from what I understand.
As long as you disclose your conflict.
Yeah. So probably wouldn't want to, but you can.
What you're saying for number seven, you would have our auditing firm act as that hotline to call.
Yes.
What would be, I'm sure they'd be glad to do that.
Right.
In fact, they always ask us if there's anything that we see that you have concerns about.
Right.
I mean, they ask us that.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing to me with an auditing hotline with fraud case is the complainant and remain anonymous. And then on the follow through, is this a is it a professional person that's hearing this complaint that's going to follow through with that complaint?
And outside of our city hall.
City hall. Yes.
Yeah.
So where would you post? What document would you post that hotline on?
I would just get with Jeannie, and we'd probably just send out an email or something like that to every city employee. That
we can also kind of, we've got the list of phone numbers for our city employees. We can also put it on there.
You know, I was going to say, you have a contact list that you give us all. Just add it to that. That would be good. I think that would be an easy one to cover. And then we can work on the number five.
So if I implement those changes, we're going to score in the either low or very low category for fraud risk assessment.
As risk level, we would
risk be levels being low or very low.
Yeah. Where do we stand now? Moderate?
My current, I've scored 280, which would just be in the moderate, but we can pick up those 60 other points pretty easily.
Well, I think it's worthwhile practice to have. And
yeah, I agree.
So again, you could almost pick up that other 5 points too by reporting fraud and abuse.
Yep.
If you have the hotline number established.
Right.
You're just trying to get out of doing that thing.
I don't blame him.
I don't either.
Well, number four?
Number five.
Yeah, no, I just seen by having a hotline, I'm going to get 5 points. I'm just kidding. I know, and I got to get it done.
Hey, you're running my ass. I mean, you're coming.
If you do number five, write your answers down each time you do it.
Yeah.
So you don't go back and get the same answer.
The quizzes are pretty good.
Isn't that the same test?
Which might be really
good. It is. It's the same. So I went back the next time and I looked at there. Some of them that's kind of questionable. You get in between whether it's A, B, or C.
Did you do it, Bo?
No,
yeah, I've already done it.
Did you get a copy of her certificate?
I don't know whether I might have just put it in the can there beside the desk. I figured the state would have a record of it.
They asked me for proof that you did.
Well, the state should have a record of it.
They should.
They would. They'd have your login.
You can probably go in and log in.
Go back in and get your print off your login number, and I wouldn't even know where to begin.
As long as you can remember your email, you can get through that. They'll send you a new one, new password.
I'll have to look and see if I got it in my desk there, but I did get a little certificate.
Uh-huh.
They had me print off.
Yeah. So the rest of us have got to get it done.
I don't know, but I know I did it. What could have done? I think there were five of them, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's
five sections.
Yeah, I think there were five of them.
There's a few little sections and quizzes.
But I got tired of going back and giving the same answer.
Well, you got to change your answer. It says it's wrong.
Well, if you read them, I don't. They're them trick questions, just
true or false, but he keeps getting it wrong.
When you're a C-mile as I am, you learn how to get around things.
Anything else, Dave, on this?
No, they just, so I'll upload that, just so you know, onto the state auditor's website, and we'll be in compliance with it.
Okay.
And we'll score good enough, I'm not anticipating any follow-up interviews.
Good.
And we do very well compared, like I said, even compared to some of the major cities, we score pretty well.
Okay, good. All right, report from city council members. Justin, we'll start with you.
Just real quick, I handed out to each of you an example of Mapleton City's excavation permit and the requirements that it's pretty straightforward. It's not long. Has a fee table in there for the age of asphalt, how much it is per square foot to cut it. Also their trench detail for patching and restoring. And then the bond amount. It's really close to what our ordinance already says. And I don't want to go through the whole ordinance tonight, but there's a few things in there that we could probably just highlight and note, mainly for awareness of what's expected of contractors that are working in the right of way. And I'm glad Jason's here because he could probably shed a little bit of light on this too. As far as requiring a bond, whether a corporate surety or a letter of credit, you're used to all that language and what's required. And I just wanted to get something in place that is a standalone permit that when people come and work in our right of way, we know they're there for one thing and what they're doing, and we're making sure that things are being done correctly. And if not, then we have a recourse and the ways and means to correct that without the city paying for it. So,
can I make a comment? This form down at the bottom, of course, says do not write below this. So I have a $10,000 bond with Mount Pleasant City.
Mm-hmm.
But Coulter, I haven't given you a certificate of workman's comp, have I?
No.
That's a good one, because if a guy gets hurt in your right of way, who does he sue?
Yeah.
He sues the homeowner he's doing the work for, but he also sues you. And a contractor's license number would be a big deal. You know, if you as a city were going to decide that you had to have a licensed contractor for that trade to do the work. But other than that, this is all what I normally deal with in any other city.
Pretty standard.
Yes. I'm doing it wrong, I do now. I got the same deal with them.
I like it. I think it's pretty good.
I mean, it needs to be compared to our ordinance and make sure that it meshes well with it. But the one thing on the workers' comp, I think that was only required if the work you were doing was up over a certain amount or something, if I remember in our ordinance.
And most of this is just reference to the fact that I like about it is it ain't specifically counted in ordinance or in accordance with so and so city code.
Yeah, because some of those things can change, like fees and different things. And right. I don't think you want to have to rewrite your permit every time your code or change your code every time your permit, your fees change. So I think it can be pretty general and just a good check and balance. And I think you talked about franchise utilities like Dominion and those that are working in here. If there's some agreement in the franchise agreement that they don't have to pay for or provide a bond or anything like that, I guess we'll have to research those and see what that means. I guess if Dominion or somebody has a contractor in here working, they're basically covering them with their own insurance and surety. Would that be how that works?
Yeah, they'd be under their umbrella.
So the contractor that's working for them would fall under that.
Yeah.
So, but there are some things that may take place in the right of way that don't necessarily need a permit. And I think it talks about that a little bit in our ordinance. If potholing or just something done with a shovel is being done, then it doesn't necessarily need a permit. But
Justin, the one thing that I'm looking here for is that there needs to be a one-year warranty period.
Yeah, it actually calls for 2 years in our ordinance right now.
So my bond needs to match that. usually these $10,000 bonds are only good for a year.
Yeah, I thought it said that somewhere. I should have highlighted it before.
So do you get a bond every time you cut the road, or just, do you have one for a whole year?
For the city. Yeah.
But if he's doing, you know, if he's doing, like up in, probably in the bigger cities out of Los Angeles, there's one contractor that's doing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work there, and I think they require him to have, adjust that bond depending on what they're doing.
See, UDOT has a 2-year, and so my bond with UDOT's different than the city bond. So, you just have to get the verbiage right on here, what they want, how it matches the bond.
Yeah, I haven't done anything with this Mapleton one. I just found it online, and I thought that it was a good start. So, as I compare it to ours, we'll put some of that language in there that's pertinent if we want to continue to have a 2-year warranty period. Does that mean you have to keep that bond in place for 2 years?
Yeah, like I said, the bond I gave the city's for a year.
Okay.
So
we'd be better off to change our wording to go back to one year warranty, basically?
Or just tell folks that are applying, they need a 2 year warranty.
2 year bond.
So either way, we got to change one or the other.
I personally like pretty much everybody, UDOT and county, everybody's going to, some of them are going to a 3-year bond now, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a preference. If you want to relieve the contractor of that after a year, and assuming that any problems that you're going to have with the trench are going to show up by then, maybe a year is good enough. But
I think a lot depends on traffic and weather.
And the depth of the trench. If you're doing a sewer trench.
Well, I know Paul Matson brought this up a while ago, but you know, in the real world, you have to get a compaction test.
Yeah.
A density test. And the reason why that's hard here is because you're hard getting a test there.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have somebody like a lab proctor and everything else.
Yeah. So can you imagine you trying to backfill a 10-foot sewer trench? And usually you do one bottom, mid, and top. So I got to wait for him to come do the bottom, and he leaves, and he can't come back for 3 days, and it's a nightmare. So. Yeah.
So, well, maybe for those reasons, then a 2-year bond is worth having.
Yeah, maybe you do that instead of requiring testing. That maybe that's the trade-off. I don't know.
Well, your sewer rats do a sound wave down there, Colter.
The other thing that we talked about that I would want to see too is maybe we should see what your opinion is. Like a lot of these cuts we're getting that some of these bigger companies are doing, they're sitting there for 3 months without it being touched.
Right.
If everybody bounces through, I think there should be a time stamp unless approved otherwise.
That's addressed in our ordinance.
Is it addressed in the ordinance? Mm-hmm. It is. So.
If it's through the winter, there's actually a winter fee that you have to pay if you're. If you have an open trench through the winter, and that's expected to be filled in with a temporary patch until you can get a permanent patch in there. So, or maybe the concession is to the contractor, like in Jason's case, if he has to leave a trench open without, because he can't get asphalt, maybe he just has an agreement with Colter to make sure they maintain that on a regular basis so it doesn't create a hazard.
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of those things can be done with good communication.
Well, again, what's hard here, and Colter and Sam and Lynn understand, is the availability of asphalt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah, so it's all very difficult.
Anyway, so hopefully, and maybe if you guys have time, you might want to just read through the ordinance and see if there's anything that you like, that you don't like, that we change in the ordinance before we make the final version of the excavation command. I think it's pretty sound, the ordinance, myself, just from reading through it. So anyway, and we do have the APWA standards adopted. I don't know if you knew that, Jason, but
I do.
We do. And maybe we ought to reference that in here. It probably talks about a standard, but
it's referenced
in the permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mapleton
permitted with reference. Okay. Yeah. And so the other thing I had is I went out to the trade cars last week with Curtis from Rural Water. I just wanted to show him what he was doing out there. He was curious, and he was pretty impressed with what, how those are coming along and how they look inside. And so along those lines, I was talking to Mayor Bailey in Moroni. He's recently gone through and kind of revamped their tennis courts into pickleball courts, kind of like we have, but they've done a coating and striping and everything on them. They look really nice if anybody has a chance to go over there and look at those. But pickleball is kind of a thing that is up and coming. There's a lot of people doing it now. And as Kevin and I have been talking about making some improvements at the park, maybe that's something that we could do is look at the tennis courts and see if there's a way we could do those in a more permanent way than just some stripes. I don't know. The nets are there. People have been using them. From what I understand, they've been out there, and now some of them are going to Moroni. But anyway, I think those are some possibilities, and as we're looking to clean up the park. And
did you even go inside the train cars? They have them all finished?
No.
Not quite. My concern still is they ain't touched the windows.
Oh, is that right?
They're going to be 3 foot by 3 foot.
Mm. Who's the new state fire marshal?
State fire marshal's still the same.
Troy retired, didn't he?
Troy retired, but they're not the actual state fire marshal.
I'm just, who's our area, I guess?
Our area rep. I'm trying to remember his name. Can't remember his name. He came up to the last fire we had from Scott, I'm not sure. I want to say his name was Chris. I'll have to check it, but younger guy. But I just worry that they're going to try and do all that, and it's going to create a headache to try and really cut them windows in after.
Huh, I didn't put it already. Said it's going to create a
headache. Because they're going to have to replace them with dome.
Maybe that's why they haven't done anything with them.
That's why I wonder if they've still been doing anything on the inside. But.
I don't know. I know the two cars on the south end, they were just barely starting to get them modified or whatever. Framing and stuff, and set the big door out. I guess I didn't realize there was an issue with the others. But one thing that I did get some feedback on the courts that the ladies are using for pickleball is they've had to kind of clean up themselves some of the leaves and stuff, and I just wondered if it would be worth our while to maybe walk through there once a week and just make sure that the leaves and stuff are cleaned up for them if they're going to be using it.
I do know Stephanie, talking to her earlier today, she said that she was going out there with Colleen tomorrow to talk about what we could do to them.
Yeah. So, I took some pictures of the ones in Moroni. I meant to print them off, but I didn't get around to it. But they look really nice, and it cleaned that tennis court up really good. So,
see, again, I think that's where we could use the rat tax.
Yeah, exactly. I think you could.
Because that would be something new. It wouldn't be something that's existing.
Yeah.
Existing.
And I did, just for Coulter's information, I did talk to Dave at Twin D. It sounded like you've been talking to him a little bit too about doing some more stuff.
Yeah.
But he said he wasn't able to get in Aspen Village because of some of the manholes when he was here the first time. So I think that's why when you went in there, you might have seen some of the conditions the way it was.
I think we put a lot better.
But he said if you wanted it to, he would come and do all that clean and camera for free if you wanted to, when he was doing some of this accounting on these, I guess this part of town or something.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that he was aware that there could have been a situation where he missed something or just in all fairness to him. So anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, good. Kevin?
I think everything in my areas are going okay. Not a lot of change from before.
So the flowers freeze tonight?
Yeah, they may. I don't know. We're not covering them.
No.
But we're gambling. We do, you know, we've been talking a lot about these ordinances and setbacks and all these things, and I'm glad we're doing what we're doing as far as planning and zoning and trying to correct some things that are amiss. I'll give you an example, and I've noticed this just within the last three or four months. But down there on Fifth West, when you go up to, you're going down, you're going north on Fifth West, and when you get to the highway, you got that little, I don't know, I've heard it called everything from a strip mall to just different business.
The building on the west right there.
Yeah, that building on the west. But they've got cars and signage parked out in the road all along, and they've got a stripe. But you pull up there to turn onto that main highway, and you got to get up the highway before you can see something coming. And those cars coming off of that highway coming into town are going 40, 50 mile an hour. They should be down to 35. But in any event, you got to get out there to where you're going to get run over before you can see anything. And I know that there's some requirements that haven't been met there. That building's been a problem child for the last few years as far as people living there.
Trying to live there and the whole mess.
Yeah, and all of that. But now they've created a real hazard on that north end. And I don't know if that's a smoke shop or what it is. But
I think they're trying to sell the car there, and I don't know what the...
Well, that stuff is part more to the east of the building itself, and maybe set back a little bit south, but not much. But the others are striped right out to the roads, and cars are parked there.
Yeah, I've experienced the same thing.
I just, every time I go to pull out of there,
you're nervous to go out very far.
Yeah, I don't know if we've got, if we could bring that to the attention. If we know for a fact they're in violation there, it might be something that we have to have the police officers visit them and let them know. I don't know.
That'd be correct, yeah.
You what?
The code enforcement should be done by the police department.
Well, where does the road from the state highway, did it end it right at Fifth West? Would it be considered state road on the west side of Fifth West?
Yes, it would.
So my question would be to that is, what is their recommendation? What is their...
The requirements.
The requirements. If them are in that right-of-way requirements, then they need to move that according to the state.
They're in the city. That's not...
It'd still be the state right-of-way, though.
The state right-of-way.
On this side, this one, Main Street?
Right.
The state
right-of-way. Yeah. So they may have tougher requirements than the city, right. I'm saying.
Probably do. So speaking of the right-of-ways, I asked Scott, because I've had two or three property owners up on State Street ask me about landscaping on that right of way between the state road and the property line.
Right.
And I said, I don't know if it's ours or not. So I know I've been working with Scott to try and establish where is the state road right of way, and where do we take over, or do we even have a right of way through there? You know, who owns the sidewalk? We plow the sidewalk, but who really owns that?
I thought it was always back of curb is kind of where they, even though they own it, they don't maintain it. It's always been...
Well, I know they won't let you put a driveway in off that State Street.
Yeah.
That's the way you talk. I dealt with this for years with people with driveways and all that same stuff, and I always got directed to the rep above Scott, and it was Region 4 rep, which is our rep out of Richfield, and she's pretty good to deal with. I'd have to see if I can find her number for you, but she always said that the state basically takes everything from back of sidewalk out to the... Because we kind of had that mess up where to put the crosswalk shack. Mm-hmm. That's the last I dealt with them on that. And that's what she was pretty strict of. Back of sidewalk out to the road was theirs. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on who you get your direction from.
Until it comes to maintaining it, then it's not there.
So it's kind of been back and forth, kind of that way. But the region 4 lady down there does all the... She'll make all the shots, basically, what I'm saying. Yeah.
So that's where we'd have to go find out on this.
Well, isn't there a lot of trees planted in that space too?
Mm-hmm. There is.
And so we've said that we're not maintaining the trees, and so it's got to be the homeowners that have been maintaining the trees.
Yeah.
See, the other problem I'd like to address going with yours is the same problem you have if you go out of the car wash. They park in trying to sell cars and stuff there. You can't see coming out of that car wash either. I about got hit earlier today when I was coming out of the car wash, and you can't because they park right there where you have to pull for else.
Yep.
And you're already in lane as cars are coming. And so it is an issue, I think, not just there, but a couple other spots.
Well, I think maybe we should do some ordinance enforcement.
We just pulled the conditional use of the building, and we did have provisions put in there on the parking, not to be parking by that tree and stuff.
And that there must be signs posted from the sidewalk to the tree to prevent blocking the view of vehicles trying to pull onto the street.
So they're out of compliance.
Right.
Do you want me to forward you this letter, ma'am?
Yeah. Because I know they always got those four-wheelers or side-by-sides sitting there with poor rent me, or, you know.
That was part of the deal, was they weren't supposed to do that anymore because it was blocking the view.
So I guess they need to be informed that they're out of compliance then, right? And given notice to have it corrected?
Yep.
Then what's the fine if they don't?
It's a business license.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's all I have there.
We can approve.
Oh, I have been looking at park restrooms.
That's part of what.
And there are some nice ones up there, and I think that we could really make a going along with our park. I think that would really make a difference with our park if we could do something. And so many of them actually are connected to the cemetery in a lot of cases. And so to have something that could service the cemetery and be available to the cemetery for use could be, I think that would be a plus too.
Do you find they're attached to pavilions, or are they separate like ours? Have you
I've not seen any of them attached to the pavilions. They're all away from the pavilions. I was in Salem's today, and they actually had theirs connected with the cemetery, but yet they had a gate, and they had a fence between the cemetery and the ball diamonds and stuff. But yet the restroom building was the same, but they had men's and women's on the ball diamond side, and then they had men's and women's on the cemetery side. And they were isolated from each other. But, you know, I don't think we need to get that elaborate, but I think a good block building that is, you know, basically, it's hard to do destruction on a block building or something, and steel fixtures and everything.
Precast building.
The fact that they're nice and clean, and they're easy to clean. You know, they got cement floors, and they're painted, and they're heated so that they provide a good, clean environment for anybody that's using them. I just think that is one thing where it's right there where our cemetery is and right in the city park that we could really improve on. And it would be a big plus for that. I don't know. I would hope even that there might even be some grants available for something like that.
Yeah.
I've been getting pictures and stuff, and I can get some dimensions and maybe even some plans from some of them. But I'd like to see us make some improvements there.
I agree.
The one that Claudia handed out that night for the public hearing, did you hear? The Land Water Conservation Fund through the state parks is a good grant opportunity.
They'll do 50%.
Yeah, match, but already.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
50%.
See, that's another one. Mike used the par tax again. If we could get a grant for 50% of that and then be able to pick up the other 50% and pay for that even over 10 years with par tax.
You could use that to pay the bond.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, pay that off over 10 years.
Is that part of that wrap tax that we're
we could use that for that type of stuff.
Yeah.
If it gets voted,
yeah. 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 Yep.
Well, maybe something like that could be pointed out to the ones that are opposing that.
Yeah. Russell?
As far as the recreation and things, everything's going good. I want to hear. Haven't had any trouble yet, no COVID troubles or anything like that. So that's all flowed through good. I have had several people that have contacted me about, well, for one, Third North, like across from Bros there, just north of Bros, that street going up there, and Todd Horn and all.
Mm-hmm.
He got trees and trucks and everything else out on that street. It's, how do we go about getting that cleaned up?
I know he's been cited on it. I don't know where it's at.
I don't know if the fines, that's what I asked about the fine, you know, sometimes you've got to hurt enough that it makes a difference.
I know he's been cited.
I was thinking, like, I was trying to remember if it's been in court like the other guy, if I remember right.
It's not been as far as the ceiling went past, but it has been in court multiple times.
So I got that one in the neighborhood, and I got Guy just getting out of hand again down there.
He just got served with something, wasn't it?
He's supposed to be in court in October.
Yeah, he goes to court next month.
Okay, and then I got people calling me about stuff going on after midnight again. They're asking for somebody to be out after midnight. More than one, things are going on. And one of them, I'll tell you, one of them's Kevin Bradshaw. And he says they come up that street of his where they're screaming 55, 60 mile an hour. They're down in the church parking lot going around screeching tires. May and Perry Thompson. They're upset about they get woke up in the middle of the night over there in the parking lot. In all due respect, I know it's your, on who you hire, but I'm thinking that it might be the wrong time of the year for public works, colder. Everything's slowing down now to hire one there. And I don't know if we could put that money towards another police officer or, because I've been told by a couple of the police officers that they would, you know, if we had another officer, we could run that midnight, that night shift and cover our town through the night. There's a lot of people with a lot of concerns about what's going on in here after midnight, and we don't have any coverage after 11 o'clock, I think it is.
1 o'clock, after 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Unless they're on an actual open package base.
So, anyway, I understand where you're coming from, but things are starting to slow down now. And I went up to Coker, I got a text at 5 after midnight. And I rolled over and opened it up, and it was about that long. And I just closed my phone and went back to sleep. Next morning I got up and opened it up, and it was about water. I went up and seen Coker and went and seen, Lynn, and, And I said, and Dave Peel's there. And I said, do we have to shut the water off? Well, they informed me that if they don't, people are flood irrigating them with their hoses. And so they're running the water. You know, you don't see the sprinklers running, but the meter's saying there's 1,000 gallons a minute going out. So I explained this to, when I got settled down a little bit, I thought, text to me at 12 o'clock at night. I was in a good dream, you know.
Well, they out trying to fill water at 1 or 3 midnight.
But I went around and looked at other lots, you know. He complained about his trees burning up and his lot burning up. And I said, well, join the crowd. So when I did sell, I just told him, I said, you know, you might spend more time, maybe your time petitioning our Father in Heaven for a little bit of moisture rather than pointing fingers. Maybe it took your
time. I didn't hear anything
back from him. But that's all I got, just them problems there. And I just thought, I don't know how you feel about another police officer. Is there a discussion that we can have now? Or I just, boy, I think public safety is probably a big thing with me. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, well, I know that there was some theft down in my neighborhood a couple nights ago of a four-wheeler. And then yesterday I was sitting out on my porch, and a four-wheeler come flying by with the county sheriff right on his tail, followed him down into the fields and everything. And apparently they finally caught him, but I think I know who it was, and they were in pursuit of him for a warrant or something. But I don't know. They're, you know, that was in the middle of the day.
I know Jack down there, he's dug out the hillside down there, trying to keep him from coming up and jumping that burn there on him and coming down where he's got his horse show going on. I guess they must be having an equestrian this weekend or something.
They're eventing.
Because they've been out there and got it all dressed up and everything, but they've dug the other side out. Now I see they got it, or they, now they're getting two jumps out of it. I don't know what you do there. I just...
Write lots of tickets.
I'd like to see another police officer, and I don't know if it's in the budget or budgeted or how we could go about it, but... I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, but that's just something I want to bring up. That's all I know.
Yeah, your problem is you got a tickle hail on that 5th North. That creates another, you know,
yes.
That's just an invitation for them to speed up.
Yeah, it is. And I don't want to say anything about having a presence on the north end of town, because since I said that, I haven't seen anybody out there.
Well, maybe I'll have to say more presence on the south end, maybe they'll come back there.
Yeah. Reverse psychology. Now, you newspaper people be good.
We don't have any problems with our police.
We don't need no problems with our police officers. I think we got a heck of a good police force.
I do too, but they've got limitations. They can, you know, they can only do so much.
Yeah.
Unless we...
I mean, the way this whole world is going, I think that's got to be a priority for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I feel pretty strongly about it, that it needs to be a priority. So,
my biggest worry, I agree with you 100%. The only thing I know that when we did have our police back here is a lot of times they're getting called to towns that weren't, and so they weren't here anyway. And so I don't know how you would address that issue, but that's a hard issue.
Well, I've been told by them that they spend so much time in paperwork.
Yeah,
and everything. No,
I didn't realize how bad it was. Jim come out to the hospital because we had a lady hit a handrail out there, and he was saying just on a call to go help the ambulance takes him 15 minutes of paperwork.
Yeah,
to close the case out, because everything they responded to is a case number, and so to respond and then close out that, so just to go help lift with the ambulance crew takes them at least 15 minutes of paperwork just to go after they're done.
And they got to cross their T's and dot their I's.
Yep.
Yeah, they got to do that, boy. They got to make sure they cover themselves. That's all I got.
Okay, thanks.
If you just kick it around in your head. You cope or nothing, I understand. I want you to know that.
You're good, well.
Yeah.
We can wrestle later.
Sam?
So, Clark's been busy like always. Hopefully the rain will help a little bit, but it's supposed to get right back up to near 90 again next week, so I don't know. We was up there Sunday from about 5:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night. That though was 11, they got actually 14 out of what we found, so.
But somebody that started fires, whoever that was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how much snow we got up there now.
I think there's hopefully a little bit up there, because I could see the skid pretty good up about halfway up, so I wonder if they're not
there. Yeah.
So maybe they want the water turned back on now, Fulton.
Well, I'll be honest, we're waiting until about 8 tomorrow before we turn that on. We're going to let one off just a scope before we kick that on in the morning.
We're afraid of freezing everything.
Yeah.
Because of the moisture, we're so far behind it.
Yeah. It didn't hit a drop in
the bucket. It needs to rain for 5 or 6 days.
Yes, even the
soft rain.
So, I mean, if it heats back up, I think we're back in the same boat. I mean, it'll only take a day and we'll drive back out. But, I mean, we've been pretty busy. I mean, the morning we had our truck scheduled to go out to Indianola, we ended up going up there, and we still sent guys out there, and so we're scattered everywhere, but, you know, what do you do?
That's quite a fire up there on Maple Mountain.
Yeah, I'm hoping it got put out too tonight.
Yeah.
Craziness. It's kind of crazy.
Well, was there a fire at Indianola?
Yeah, there was another fire at Indianola Saturday.
But back to the south.
Yeah, started on Indian, what they call Indian Ridge, and threatening structure.
Up on Indian Ridge, huh? But it didn't go very far, it didn't last very long.
I'm trying to remember what the total acreage, it was not as big as the other one by far, but it was a little bit thicker.
It could have been if they wouldn't have gone on it, huh? Does that Indian Hill Fire Department respond to some of that?
They're only wildland only, so they do respond to anything wildland structured, they're not structured side of it, but, so they do that, but the problem with most of them, like out there, they have no water resource.
Yeah.
With hydrogen.
Nowhere to get water, is there?
The only place is their well for their fire station, generally, but, yeah, I don't think it pumps that much, I know.
It pumps to that tank, and then they, once that tank above, it's done.
It's gone. Until they repump it, refill it, but, so it's a kind of a mess out that way. A lot of other places, but, I mean, that was a problem we had up on these fires up here. How do I get an 80,000 pound truck up there to, up our canyon or Spring City Canyon that's 40 feet long to
Can't make the turns.
Give us water resource?
Yeah.
You know, so we set up one of the little pumps and was trying to pump out what little bit of a ditch spring was there. It took us probably an hour and a half to fill one truck with water to go back and refight it, but.
How many did they start at the?
14 is what the last count was.
Wow. Somebody trying to burn us down.
Crazy. The furthest south was 4 miles south of Spring City, where it peaked up the Spring City Road. The other one was just about a mile off of ours. So they went for about a 10 and a half, 15 miles spree of lighting up. That's what we found. I mean, there could be more, because someone would only burn out, they'd just be a little black spot in the bushes, so they were kind of hard to see in your truck unless you got out and physically started walking. But they were gapped about every 200 yards, where they were trying to light everything about every 200 yards. So.
No idea who it was.
Not yet. I know there was, one morning we got some people, but so we talked to some people that seen some vehicles, so it'll be up at Forest Service, it's all on them.
Right.
They take it.
Was they using gas to start them, or?
No, they do have some footprints that we found some good spots where we got some, you know, stuff like that that they, taller gentleman, light trees, well, taller person, let me put it that way, you gotta be careful what you say. So, lighting trees, and you could just see where they're using lighter, light and red pine boughs and stuff like that, and trying to get them to go.
Wow.
Well, it could have been ugly.
Well, if that gets on fire up there on this face, we got troubles.
Yeah.
Major trouble, don't they?
Yeah. It's been crazy, so the moisture's been nice to see.
Anything else?
I think that's it, isn't it? I'd say we've just been running around, so.
We did meet with JUB. Environmental studies done, now it goes to the NRCS. What did they word that, the financial?
I can't remember, it was a big fancy word.
Yeah, something where the NRCS looks at it now, and you said that would take 3 to 6 months?
Yeah.
For the NRCS now to evaluate it. They are proposing it two different ways, basically. We're still trying to get the 1,000-acre pond, or storage still, is their first and most push. They're wording it a couple of different ways to try and get that approved. So, that's kind of a spot where we're at with the irrigation new system. And then, talking to Russ's deal, we did do interviews Friday on public works person, and we've chosen Raider as the most qualified. The other two part-times that interviewed, he's got the in-house. So we'll be hiring him full-time as part of the public works. And then we do need the budget for another police officer. We do need to really do that and look at that seriously for next year. How we do that.
I was really close this year.
Yeah.
I have some ideas in my guess there.
Just on the 17th, we have a meeting with JUC on the hazardous pipeline grant. Just to wrap that up. So like Montgomery, fire chief, police chief, school district, Wasatch, hospital, to all come, we present the evacuation plan if that pipeline was to ever rupture. And then we'll be wrapped up on our grant for our hazardous pipeline.
What time's that out on the 17th?
2.
That just here?
Yeah. And she said we can let her know if we want to do it Zoom. They can set it up Zoom. Or if we want it in person. But I just got to let her know. She'll be calling me Thursday. It's Thursday. So we could have it on a computer here. We could all be here. What if we ended it? Do it on Zoom. The rest would be here. It's up to you, man. Let me know.
I'd say probably leave the option open either way, so if people don't feel like they want to come in the crowd, we could do it the Zoom, and those whoever felt like they wanted to come here, just be here.
We can do that too.
Just so we can have it both directions.
Okay. Now, they've been down quite a few days helping us capture data, so it's really going well. So.
Well, to add to that, I don't know if y'all noticed in your first email I sent you, but Shane said on September 16th at 6 p.m. here at City Hall, there's going to be a Zoom meeting with the UAMPS to discuss the carbon-free power. And he'd like as many of you as can be here to be here.
Because that has to be decided on next City Council meeting.
Right.
That's on the...
September 6th.
New plants they're doing in Idaho.
Nuclear plant, yep, in Idaho.
Yeah.
So it's UAMPS meeting.
Right, at 6 p.m.
That's all.
Shane's going to set up, because it will be Zoom, he's going to set up for a screen for you to be able to watch that.
What day is?
That's a Wednesday.
Wednesday? I know I got the same email from him.
I have a question. Maybe this was in the packet from last week. Is this how we're going to word that rat tax thing?
No, that was last week or last time, and we did not get it noticed 24 hours on the public website.
Okay.
So we had to call it an emergency deal and continue with the public hearing to be able to get down the ballot.
Okay. So was that done?
That was done.
That was what the public hearing was last week.
Was on that rat tax.
I was just wondering if this was. Yeah.
And so we had to do that way because of not getting it posted on the.
I see.
Website, the state website.
So
as a follow-up to that, the state
attorney
general office has contacted us twice on that. Because an individual complained because it did not get on that website for the 24 hours. And they have deemed it that we're all right because we publicly notified it in our newsletter the first of the month. We advertised it in both papers, the Pyramid and the Messenger. The only thing is we didn't get down there for quite 24 hours on that state website. But they felt like we'd still done public notice good enough. And that the attendance was fairly high, so they said you have to have the notice out there because you have enough people. You have a few people attending too.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you had held the meeting that night, you wouldn't have been able to get it on the ballot.
On the ballot.
Right. Okay.
So.
Yep. Okay. So. As I understand it, then it is going to be on the ballot.
Yes.
It's Proposition 19.
And I would hope that the wording would be such that it does show the amount. Does that this flyer here didn't show anything about the amount that the tax would entail?
Well, you're talking the resolution doesn't have that in there?
Well, I don't think this is a resolution.
Yeah, that's the resolution.
That was the resolution. Yeah,
to put it on the
ballot. But okay, that was the resolution to put it on the ballot. But when it goes on the ballot, won't it have a dollar amount on there?
It's not a dollar amount, percentage. It's a percentage.
Right, but wouldn't it list that percentage?
Yes, it will.
Which is one-tenth of...
Because I think that would be a big plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penny out of every $10 is what it comes down to.
Yeah, basically.
And we will send out more information about it as well.
So we're going to dedicate one side of our newsletter next month going out all on that. And I've asked
Bradley,
Stephanie to kind of give us some ideas of what things that we could do with this money, and we're going to get a hold of the Arts Council too, because it'll be arts and it'll be museum,
parks and recreation.
Yeah, parks. So it'll involve our arena. It'll involve a lot of things that could use that money.
Well, our city park.
Yeah, we could spend the whole thing on our city park.
Right.
So.
Well, people need to understand that it's going to be, it's a tax on not just the citizens, it's a tax on anybody that purchases things here. And a good share of the people that do purchase stuff in our city community is from out of town.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, we brought that up in the meeting two weeks ago. That's what we said. That's not.
Yeah.
They were saying
our
tax on the citizens. No.
Yeah.
It's a tax on our citizens, but hopefully it's offset by quite a bit of our visitors.
Yeah. The neighbors that use our town.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Yeah.
A lot.
We get a lot of ATVs. Look her up there. Is they stream ATVs across that mountain?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Well, and then our residents, they go up north and buy their stuff. Well, they're paying the rat tax up there for them.
Right.
So they've got to realize what this entails. I mean, it's a no-brainer that we should. It's a state-approved tax, and that's what the communities are using to fund the recreation and the parks and so forth. So maybe that's why those communities have such nice restrooms and whatnot in their parks.
I wish that it could be used on existing. The way I understand it, it has to be new.
So again, though, if you're like, we're talking our park out there, new restrooms.
Well, new restroom, but yeah. Like we talked about using some of supplemental on the pool, you can't do that.
I talked a little bit to John Bradley about that. I seen him up at the Outdoor Rec Summit, and he said that they're starting to change that a little bit. That they're getting a lot more flexible with what you can use that for too. So. I don't know that they're really gonna come down on you unless somebody maybe complains to somebody about what we're using it for, but I don't know. I think anytime you can use it for, even if it's on new stuff, it's still money that you can spend that you would have to take from somewhere else in the budget.
And you could put it to something else that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I have.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Let's make the motion we adjourn. We'll adjourn.
I'll second it. Well, now we do go home and decide what we're going to cover and what we're not going to cover, right?
Oh, we got to go find our parts.
To see how many parts we got.
I know where mine are. I'm not wearing them out this spring.
I've had enough.